You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Do you guys see Carmelo Anthony is joining NBC as a studio analyst? Did you
really?
See this, you know?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, Andrew Marchand put it out there. You know, NBC's taken over the NBA, obviously, TNT, all those years. And so they're putting together, a new team. We've already, kind of seen who are going to call the games, and Kevin Harlan's going to be one of those guys. Carmelo Anthony, that's cool. They're giving some new blood, man, some new folks, some opportunities. So I'm curious to see what it'll be. I think the big question everybody keeps talking about, are they going to bring that music back? Turtle and Orn, have you guys, the traditional, that NBC theme, are they bringing that back? Do we know?
Yes.
I think
John
so.
Tesh is doing a remix or a version of it. Yeah, but, yeah, it's going to be brought back in some sort of version, yes.
Right.
They were using it for,
This is the best one, man.
Like Fox College Basketball or something was being used.
Hearing Marv Albert come in.
A spectacular
move. Yes, and it counts.
It's called Round Ball Rock.
Yes, that's the official.
It's really good.
Thank you, Turtle. Thank you. Yeah, man, it's just that's in my wheelhouse, right? Zeno, we talk about this. Like, that's the heyday. That's the 90s Jordan and, the big games.
No, this is the heyday of me turning on the TV to watch the Bulls beat the Knicks and me cry like a little girl.
It's true. That's true. So, that's going to be awesome. But, yeah, I wanted to mention that. It's Dukes and Bale Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, I am down here at the Gateway Center today. Zeno's at the studio. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Having a good time talking about our Falcons because we got a lot of decisions to make. And as we started the show today, Zeno immediately jumped in and started talking about the general manager and Terry Fontenot and the decisions.
In fairness, I was asked a question. I didn't jump in. I was asked a question.
Well, yes, but you were itching at the bit to get into this. Let's not procrastinate about that. I mean, you wanted to go in, and you have. And by the way, a lot of people agree with you. It's funny. James Hooks hits us up at Dukes and Bell 929 at Mark Zeno, and it put him up. See, Dukes, he says, Zeno's the voice of reason today. I don't get this. I've agreed with him twice on the show.
There you go.
So,
problematic for everybody.
Yeah, every now and then you become the
blind squirrel finds a nut. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly. So we're talking about that, and we'll continue that conversation as we continue on. But if you're just joining us, bottom line is the process. This is really what we're talking about. The whole Kirk Cousins thing is a part of it, but the process. What is it? How do they do it? What is it going to be moving forward? And is it going to work at some point? And when we say work, guys, the results are tangible in wins and playoff runs. It is not, we've got a few good players. That's not the tangible results. So when you talk about the Eagles or the Chiefs, that's what we're talking about. Playoff runs, Super Bowls. And that's when you know the process, whatever it is and however you do it, is working the right way. 404-726-0929. You can hit us up and let us know. But we've been discussing that. We'll certainly dive back into that here in just a little bit. Right now, though, let's talk some dogs. So the most disappointing thing last year, obviously, was the wide receiving core, right? The drops, We can talk about Carson Beck. And by the way, what do you think he's going to be down there at the U, by the way? Zeno, you think he's going
to
be...
Engaged to Cavender probably in 6 months. That's what he's going to be.
So, distracted. No Heisman then? No Heisman?
Yeah. No. He's no Heisman. Are you out of your mind?
Huh?
Carson Beck was talking about the Heisman
for him here before things went
Well, that was just ridiculous talk. Everybody should have known that. Come on. Stop. Stop.
Coming into the season, people were talking about Carson Beck as the best quarterback in the country. You and I both know it.
Again, that doesn't mean it was proper. It was talk. There was that. Come on. Really? Like, did we really think that he was going to be the best quarterback in the nation?
Well, there's a lot of people bought into that.
I still have a problem. It's hard to be the best quarterback in the nation with a subpar offensive system, but that's neither here nor there.
Wait. What do you mean subpar? What are you talking about? So it's an offense that's won a couple of national championships. What are you talking about?
Not with this guy. not with this guy.
Bobo hasn't changed.
And that's the point. Hasn't changed. That's the point.
No.
Hasn't changed. That's
you said it.
Perfectly said. End of sentence. He hasn't changed. End of sentence. There we go. Good.
He hasn't changed that much with what Monken was doing. Come on.
Okay. Then why aren't the results better?
They don't have the players. All those guys won a Super Bowl, you know?
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. That's fine.
Come on.
Those guys play on defense, by the way. None of those guys played. Jalen Carter didn't play any offense.
You're right. But they had a historic defense. That's why they won the chip.
Okay. Well, the defense wasn't bad this year. Offense, not so much. They had some problems. They do need some more playmakers. They clearly need more playmakers.
Yes, they do. Is Lucky Lawson one of those guys? Could he be UGA's secret weapon? Listen, we've been talking about guys catching the ball. He was Georgia's top tight end last year. And he played with Oscar Delp. Remember we kept talking about Oscar Delp being the guy that was supposed to be the next dude up?
Yep. Brock Bowers 2.0?
Yeah, not so much.
No.
And Lucky led the group. 24 receptions, 348 yards. The only reason I bring this up is because we talk about the wide receiving room. I'm going to need to see what this looks like in the spring and leading into G-Day. I said this to Mike last week. Like, that's what I'm watching for. I mean, we can talk about the quarterback situation all we want. Can these dudes catch the ball? Can they get yak?
Okay, but the quarterback's got to get him the ball. Here's my issue. And we have become very accustomed to, and rightfully so, like the next guy up for Georgia has always done well. Even go all the way back to Eason, to Fromm, to, you know, the whole thing. Everybody's played well. What is Gunnar Stockton? I don't know if we know yet.
Don't trust him? You don't know?
I don't. It's not a question of trust. I just don't know. Nobody has a large enough sample size to really understand what we have. And is it fair to assume, again, for Georgia fans, it's a fait accompli. The next guy up is going to be just as good as the last guy. Okay. I don't live in that world where I just assume everybody's going to be good. We're never having seen him play. But, you know, I'm questioning who's the second and third quarterback on the depth chart if this thing starts to turn in a bad direction.
Yeah. Look, I think that's become kind of the idea for most Georgia fans simply because the program has been so good.
Yes. And it's fair for them to assume that.
Yes.
But
yes.
I just don't know. I don't get the same feeling with Gunnar Stockton as I did with Carson Beck and Stetson Bennett. Again, maybe some of it is the roster around him. That's the difference. You know, Stetson Bennett and Carson Beck walk into ready-made championship-level rosters. I don't know that they have that this year. Do we know that? I mean, do you feel like this is, yes, they're going to be one of the top teams in the country. Yes, they're going to be in the college football playoff most likely. But there's a difference between doing those two things and being a championship-level team.
Okay, so part of this is when you're winning like Georgia is, and this is what happened at Alabama, Alabama fans believe that it didn't matter who the quarterback was. As long as Nick Saban was there and the defense was good, it didn't matter. And here's what I'm talking about. You go back to John Parker Wilson, okay, in the mid-2000s.
I remember.
And then you get to Greg – I'm serious. And then you get to Greg McElroy because you got to think about when Saban came in, okay? So you get to Greg McElroy. And then you get to A.J. McCarron, and then everybody thought A.J. McCarron was great, and then Blake Sims was going to be as good in 2014. He wasn't.
Nope.
Jake Coker comes in. He wasn't as good.
But they won with him.
That's the point. And then you get to what we saw, you know, and everybody witnessed, and now these guys are in the NFL, and that's Jalen Hurts in 16-17, Tua in 18-19, Mac Jones. But it didn't matter. Alabama fans were convinced that we don't care. Bryce Young, he'll be better. And he won a Heisman and certainly was really good. That is where Georgia is because they feel like the coach and the defense are going to be good. And the next guy up, the quarterback, he'll be just a good. Alabama, though, and Zeno, they were intentional about going to get these guys.
Right. Here's the one thing I would say, though. There's two things that are majorly different from that Alabama run to where Georgia is right now. One, there was a much bigger gap between Alabama and one or two other teams and the field. That's okay. Not the case anymore.
Right.
Right? The field, they've closed the gap. Everybody is more equitable due to NIL, transfer portal, all this other stuff that wasn't around back then. So I don't know if that's a fair, you know, straight line correlation example that works here. And again, for Georgia, it's not only is the gap closed, the gap's closed within your conference, right? Like, there's an argument they're not even the best team in the SEC next year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, you know, if you know, not that you have to be the best team in your conference to win the whole thing, but the point simply is that, you know, it certainly with a 12-team playoff now, it changes your path a ton.
Yeah. You know what?
You could say it. It's okay. I'm right.
No. Look, with Arch Manning, it's easy to think that Texas might be the better team next year.
What's the reason to believe they're not?
Well, everybody believes that he's probably going to be the best quarterback in the SEC. Now, I've got to see.
Is that or Nussmeier from LSU?
Correct. From LSU. Because he's coming back. You know, he's got some experience under his belt. But to your point, like, that is what would give you the edge if you were to say, I think this team's maybe better than Georgia. Now,
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, Texas is going to get a chance to prove it. They come to Athens next year. It's going to be another huge game, just like when Georgia went to Texas. But, you know, that's to your point. You may not even be the best team in your conference. And there are no more divisions. We know that. East, West, South, all that stuff's gone. Bottom line is Georgia's still a top three team in this conference. And I think, yes. You know, when you say that, you're saying that based on Kirby and you're basing it on the defense. You don't have to base it on the quarterback like Alabama did for so many years. They didn't care who the quarterback was, even when they had really good ones, you know? 404-726-0929. And by the way, if you think, like, Lane Kiffin's done, he's not. If you think Florida's not coming, or, like, this is not going to be an easy task for Georgia just to continue to show up and be in the SEC championship game, or for that matter, you know, to make the playoff. Now, if they're not one of the top 12 teams in the country, something obviously went drastically wrong. But if you just think they're going to continue to run off and like this year, you win another SEC championship, it's just kind of like, oh, it's what's expected. I think it's going to become much, much harder in this new SEC and certainly with NIL at play.
Agree. And again, I start to look now at, you know, the SEC as a whole. Without ruffling any feathers here.
It's okay. You do that all day.
Do we absolutely have clear facts that they are a top three team in the conference?
I don't have clear facts. I think people are basing that and going to give
off of past
Correct.
Success. Yes,
that's right.
But
that's,
I mean,
right.
Again,
because Zeno, you've been talking about process today. Here's what you know about George and Kirby: the process is right.
Yes, 100%. That's a process.
The process is right.
That collaboration, I'm behind. Whatever collaborating they're doing, can we get their collaboration card for the Falcons?
Well, does it work? Then you're talking about Kirby. That's what you're talking about.
Okay. All right. Well. But again, I mean, you still have an offense in Tennessee and a defense that's really good. Like you mentioned, Ole Miss. You forget about A&M, who was really good last year. I mean, you know, these are all things that are part of what, you know, they're going to have to deal with. And they're still one, pun intended, top dog that people are still chasing them all the time, right? And
yes.
That's really what it boils down to, is that they are the hunted now, and everybody is trying to knock them off. And so they do not have the easier path anymore. Their path is a lot harder. Excuse me.
I agree. What do you guys think? 404-726-0929. Hit us up. Again, this hour brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. It's Dukes and Bell. Zeno's in for Mike today. Coming up, Guy Talk on the way. And also, we're going to get a chance to talk to our buddy Ian Valentino, NFL writer for the 33rd team. We'll talk to him about this Aaron Rodgers thing, because Zeno brought it up. Turtle was challenging him about where Aaron Rodgers may go. The Jets put out an official statement. I think Oren put this out and texted us earlier. We knew this because it had gotten out, but Oren was saying the Jets hadn't officially said it, right? Oren, is that what you were saying earlier about this Jets statement?
That's right.
So the Jets make an announcement that they're splitting with Aaron Rodgers and wishing him success. That came out about 3 hours ago, and we were like, well, didn't we know this? I guess we did, but we didn't hear that from the Jets. It had gotten out there. So it is official, and they're moving on, and Aaron Rodgers is going to have to find another home. But there are a bunch of quarterbacks that are going to be looking for new places. So we'll talk to Ian about that. We'll talk about this Kirk Cousins situation as well, and also get his thoughts on Michael Penix. A lot of people believe that special things are about to happen for this Falcon organization. We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk some NFL with our buddy Ian Valentino, NFL writer for the 33rd team. And Ian, I want to start with the news. The Jets put out an official statement wishing Aaron Rodgers the best, but they're moving on from him. He wanted more trophies there. He didn't do it. He said he wanted to end the leaks. He was the leak in the locker room. He did all these things. He became a distraction. And now the Jets are making this decision. So two questions, really. One, where does Aaron go? What do you think is likely for him as far as a landing spot? And then what are the Jets thinking as far as their quarterback position?
Yeah, Rodgers is in an interesting position right now, right? Because
he feels like this could be it. Like, his raw numbers last year were pretty decent. If you don't watch the games, I think you could argue, okay, Cleveland makes sense. Pittsburgh makes sense. Maybe if, you know, the Rams want to make a big move and, you know, kind of refresh a little bit, move Matt Stafford, get some good trade value for him, and then you just get a stopgap quarterback in Rodgers. Maybe that can make some sense, right? Like, you can sell yourself on the production part of Rodgers because he's better than maybe like five or so, eight starters at least, like even at his low end. But I think the rest of the conversation with Rodgers is the tough part, and he's just an odd person, to say the least. And I think bringing that into a locker room is tough to consider. And then you factor in the money and everything else. And I don't know, he's a little bit unpredictable. And I think that it could lead to a retirement, right? Like, I think that's the question, is does he push for a job, maybe at a team that's maybe rebuilding and he can bridge the gap to a rookie, but is he interested in maybe being benched at some point? So I think that's a tough part for him. For the Jets, I get moving off of Rodgers, but they have no clear path to upgrading. And I think that's the tough part, is like, are they willing to, with Aaron Glenn, give him a little bit of a tough situation to either start a rookie that they're probably going to have to, you know, stretch a little bit to take either someone there in the first round. I don't know that anyone's going to be really worth that pick, or in the second round. I think that's a tough sell. Or do they bring Sam Darnold back? Do they really plan on doing that? I think that's a really tough sell for the fan base. And I'm not really sure. I think the Jets, it's easy enough to move off of Rodgers and just kind of shed yourself for the experience, but to not have a backup plan is a little bit unique and difficult.
To that end, what do you make of the rumors of Matt Stafford being done in L.A. and whether they decide to move on from him? I mean, a trade part, I'm sure there would be a market for him, certainly more than Kirk Cousins for that matter, but what do you make of the Matt Stafford rumors?
Yeah, I'm all about maximizing the assets that you have, and you know, they're a team that they're a playoff caliber team. So, like, that's the tough part. Do you want to give up your chance at potentially making a Super Bowl run? Maybe you catch fire in a bottle. You've got a really young defense, so maybe you want to see where that goes. But if a team like the Giants or the Jets want to offer you their first-round pick, like, if you're talking about getting, like, a top-10 pick back for him, for a guy that's in his late 30s, he's expensive, he's been dinged up a lot in his career, I think you have a pretty good pitch there to make a move, but then you have to have the replacement. It kind of goes back to the Jets thing. It's like, just don't make the move just to make the move. You want to stay competitive, especially when you have Sean McVay. Does Sean McVay actually want to take a step back too, or is he just going to, you know, get back into that weird headspace where he was thinking about retiring? Like, if it's going to cost you Sean McVay, then I don't think you make that move. But if it's something where he's in it for the long term, well, I'd probably consider it then, because I don't know that they're a serious Super Bowl threat as is, but there is something to be said to being a playoff threat every year. Like, no franchise wants to go from a playoff team to a total rebuild if you can help it. So, very unique situation. I don't think I'd buy it unless if you start to see some really high trade compensation that starts with, like, a top 10 pick.
Ian, we've been arguing about whether any team is going to potentially trade for Kirk Cousins. I do not believe that to be true. I think they wait it out, they make the Falcons cut him, and then they sign him if they want him. Do you see that scenario playing itself out, or do you think there are teams that will be interested in making a move for Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, I would lean towards what you're thinking, where they cut him. If it's going to be a trade, it's going to be pennies on the dollar, right? Like, you're talking maybe a conditional day three pick, maybe a pick swap, like Cousins and a sixth rounder for a fifth rounder. It's going to be something that's pretty ugly, and it probably happens after June 1st because you need the money to work out a little bit there, and it's a little bit easier to do after June 1st. So otherwise, these teams are smart. They know it. When they know that a trade is available, they'll wait. We've seen better players than Cousins just be outright released, and then they'll swoop in and they'll pay him next to nothing, right? Like, we saw it with Russell Wilson, very similar situation. I think Wilson was coming off of a little bit of a better season than Cousins is, considering the injury history and everything like that, and he was just released. So I think that was a little bit of writing on the wall. I wouldn't get your hopes up that you're going to get much in return for Kirk Cousins in a trade.
No, I don't think the expectation is to get much in return. I think the expectation for the Falcons is to create the cap space with a post-June 1st trade. That's what you're gunning for. But I believe the Falcons when they say they wouldn't release him. I genuinely do, because they look at it as a sunk cost, and they have a viable backup, so to speak, a $40 million backup, but a viable one at that. Is there a team that you think, you know, could fit, Kirk Cousins could fit with?
I think Cleveland, right? Cleveland's got to be the obvious one. Kevin Stefanski, that connection. They have a major need. I know Cleveland fans have their hopes up that they can get Cousins, whether it's via trade or as a free agent. They think he'd come cheap, and they want that to happen because they don't have a ton of cap space to work with, obviously, dealing with the Deshaun Watson situation. There's some other teams I think maybe you could say, yeah, he could go there and compete, especially if there's like a Stafford trade. The Giants, I think, makes sense as a stopgap too. Brian Daboll is a good quarterback coach. So I would have trust in him that they could get something out of him. But I think that you're onto something there too. Like, I think Atlanta is not going to be super motivated to make this work. Like, they'll get a little bit of cap space, but a lot of that cap space is going to be for 2026 if they make a move. And like, I don't know how that helps their team now. And I think they're going to be looking at it like, we already spent this on him, so you've got to make it worth it for us. So it's going to be a little bit of a standoff there between Cousins, because I think he's going to have something to say in this. Cousins, the team that wants to get Cousins, and then Atlanta. It's not going to be an easy deal.
What do you think of Michael Penix?
I like him. I think he was pro ready. I think he's ready to start. The pick was odd because they just signed Cousins, but like, if you take that away from it, I think it made sense. He's such a good pocket passer. You know, there might be some limitations there athletically and maybe as a creator, but you want to take a risk sometimes, and that's going to happen when it's not the number one overall pick, but he's so accurate. He's so smart. Like, you could see that all from the first time he even played in the preseason, right? Like, he just looked comfortable out there, and he's ready to play. Like, you got to get that guy on the field. His age is part of that equation too, but you want to bank on the intelligence, the accuracy. His physical traits are good enough, and I think that, you know, if you give him enough weapons and you give him a much better defense, you're going to have a chance.
He's Ian Valentino, NFL writer for the 33rd team, joining us here on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The running back position, when it comes to the draft this year, it seems like there's a resurgence now, and teams are going back to that main workhorse back. We saw, obviously, what it did for the Eagles with Saquon Barkley. Do you expect that teams are going to put more focus on that sole lead running back, not only through the draft but in free agency as well?
I don't know that I see it being more of a lead cow back. I still think there's going to be a less of a workhorse mentality because there's that risk of the drop-off, and you're still seeing some teams get a lot of production out of like the second tier, third tier of running backs, but you want to have two of those guys. I think there's going to be value in that. And there's so many running backs in this draft class where in some ways it's going to push the cream of the crop up. Like, the couple of guys that you think that will be number one types, Ashton G&T, maybe a Caleb Johnson, maybe Omarion Hampton. Those guys are probably going to still go in the top 50, but I think everyone else still gets pushed down. So you might get like this lack of a mid-round running back, right? All of a sudden you're going to start to see some really good names and then, you know, start coming in flurries on day three. And those guys are going to be 1A, 1B types, where both running backs get like 12 to 15 carries each. I don't think we're going to enter the full era where there's like 25 workhorses. I don't know that we're going to be at that point ever again, but I do think we're closer to what it used to be. And I think that's smart. It's where the league should be going. The guys coming into the league are just too good. And we just saw it against the Eagles. How do you beat that Eagles team? You have to run the ball to beat that Eagles team. That's the only way that you're going to beat them. You're not going to throw against that team too well, even if you're Patrick Mahomes. So watch for the league to pivot a little bit, but I don't think it's going to go all the way back yet.
Yeah, it's a great point. Ian, what do you think New Orleans does? I saw where Kellen Moore, you know, was not necessarily giving a vote of confidence to Derek Carr. They got a lot of problems, and we bring them up because they're in our division. I thought it was interesting that nobody really wanted that job. I know there are 32 of them, but Kellen Moore ultimately takes it. But it's an uphill battle for what they have to do and how they have to fix that team.
Yeah, they're finally paying the piper for all of those cap moves that they made and all of the magic that they made. Like, it's at a head, and it's finally here. I think they just have to embrace it. Like, this year is going to be rough. You probably have to be accepting the pill a little bit with Derek Carr. I think you have to keep him for this year just because the money, the way that they restructured his contract. Again, like, sometimes you just have to deal with a declining player, and he's going to be expensive, and then you deal with it next year. So for them, I think it's about rebuilding the roster around him, at least for this season, getting a lot younger across both sides of the ball. Find some impact players if you can, but they're not going to be signing anybody in free agency. I wouldn't expect too many major moves for them. It's going to probably be an ugly season next year where they're trying to lay the foundation for the future, and then you start seeing a lot more moves the year after that because they can start shedding some of that bad salary. But I can see why coaches maybe didn't want to hitch their wagon to that too, because they kept Mickey Loomis, right? They kept the GM. Right. It's a very odd situation with that. Like, you know, Kellen Moore took on a tough job. Like, it's a fun job if you're, you know, in Madden and you're the GM in Madden because it's a little bit easier to do. In real life, that's a tough job. And not having the quarterback of the future, like that Spencer Rattler pick not paying off is, you know, it's whatever because it's a day three pick. But if he would have hit, that's a lot easier of a job to sell yourself on.
Real quick, Ian, I think the reports of the Chiefs' demise are greatly overstated. That said, they have a ton of questions to answer. I mean, Rashid Rice is coming back, but Xavier Worthy is a number two receiver. They have no running back. Travis Kelce's facing retirement. They need more weapons on the offensive side of the ball. What's your forecast for the Chiefs going forward?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not panicking about the Chiefs yet, but this is probably the most important offseason that they've had in quite a long time. They have to embrace that the offense has to change. Like, Travis Kelce is, whether he comes back or not, he's just not overly helpful right now. The wide receiver room needs to be turned over. Like, DeAndre Hopkins proving to be a bust of a signing is a tough blow. These other things, like you said, Rice coming back, but can you even count on Rashee Rice because of his suspensions and constant issues with him? So they're in a little bit of a weird flux. A lot of personnel needs to change over. They're an expensive team. The defense is getting a little bit older, especially with Chris Jones. So they have to start taking some bigger swings. And what I hope that they don't do is do what New England did in Tom Brady's later years. We're not there yet with Mahomes, but we are kind of there with Andy Reid and some of these other guys where you have to take some bigger swings. Don't just take guys that plug holes. Try to find more stars. Build what you built originally and just try to kind of keep that momentum going. So I think you're right, though. I would look at the offensive line. Obviously, we saw the Super Bowl, but they have, you know, two guard spots that need to be addressed, a left tackle spot that needs to be addressed. What are you going to do there? Running back, need to upgrade that position too. So I think they just need to look at themselves and say, we probably need to overhaul the system a little bit, not go too crazy, but make things easier for Mahomes and get some new playmakers in here and then build it around that new talent. Like, we don't have to keep running the same stuff back when the talent has to change out anyway. So they're going to be really good next year. Like, I'm with you. I think that's still probably going to be a 12-13 win team no matter what. But that team needs to be certainly injected with a lot of fresh talent.
Yeah, you bring up New England. It's a great point. They continue to change as they evolve with Brady, even though Brady was still there. That's what has to happen with the Chiefs. Great stuff. Ian, we got to run, man. Ian Valentino, follow him, guys, NFL writer for the 33rd team. Appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. When we come back, Sky Talk, and what happened to me yesterday, and why I was not on the show, and why I was at the ER for 6 hours. Next. So nobody wants to be in the emergency room ever, and I don't wish that on anybody. If you had to go through the process, and at some point in your life, you're probably going to have to do it. And, Zeno, when's the last time you had to go to the emergency room? Now, I know you got the boys, so, you know, I don't know if your boys have been sick or ill to that point where you had to take them in. But when's the last time you've been or had to deal with that?
Yeah, one of the kids. You know, kid stuff happens. They bang their head or whatever, and you just, out of reaction, rush them to the emergency room because you don't know what to do. So,
sure.
Yeah,
sure.
It was probably like 5 or 6 years ago.
Was it a super long wait, like forever?
No, not necessarily. Like, when it's little kids, sometimes they get rushed to the front of the line.
True.
You know, just because there's probably a variety of different things that could go on. But I don't remember being there. When my one son banged his head and needed stitches, that was a long wait. We sat in the emergency room for a good 2 hours before they brought us back.
Yeah. All right. Look, and again, it just depends on your situation. I woke up yesterday, and I was fine. I slept great. I had all intentions of doing all the things I needed to do and being where I needed to be. And I go down, you know, we've got Frankie, who's the boss, and we got the puppy, Louie, and Louie's like 12 or 13 weeks now. So I go down, and I'm playing with them, and I realize, like, man, as I got out of bed, I got this sharp pain on my right side. And I'm like, this is weird. But, like, as I got up and started getting my day going, it got progressively worse, so much so to the point where it was just too much pain. I couldn't sit. I couldn't lay down. And about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes up, you know, after me being up and out of bed, I told my wife, I said, Michelle, I got to go to the urgent care. So she's like, what's wrong? And I said, remember when I told you last night my lower back was hurting? I don't know if it has something to do with this, but, like, I'm telling you, this is excruciating pain. So she's like, where is it at? So, you know, I'm like, it's here. I can barely walk. So I go to urgent cares, you know, and I get there, and I'm like, you know, telling them what the symptoms are. I'm literally in the waiting room. There's one other dude. And I'm like, you know, I just want some relief. I don't know what's going on. So they make me go through, you know, the amount of tests that you have to go through when you go to urgent care. Now, the problem with some urgent cares, not all, but, you know, is that they don't have the scans, right? They can't do a CT or an X-ray and all that kind of stuff. So after we, you know, talk through all the stuff, they're like, well, we're going to need you to pee in this cup. I'm like, okay, fine. Well, I don't care. They're like, well, we just want to check everything. So, you know, I'm there for like an hour. And you know what happens, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Nothing, right.
Nothing. So then they suggest, well, why don't you go? And I got to give the folks at WellStar a big shout out because they were great. But they said, why don't you go to one of our ERs and we'll let them know that you're coming. You know, we've already had a look. We're not sure what's going on. We've got some theories, but we can't scan you and do the things you need to do. So, you know, literally I wasted an hour, right? So I'm like, oh, God, I'm about to go to the ER. I'm in pain. I'm driving. I can barely sit in the car. I get to the ER and I walk in. And you know when you walk in and you're like, please don't let this place be packed. Please, like, I need to see somebody, like, right now. And I walk in and there's like, oh, maybe 10 people. I'm like, okay, this isn't bad. So I check in and the lady says to me, oh, I'm so sorry, sir, you're in pain. You know, we're going to get to you as soon as we can. Now, given, I don't know what's going on. And I'll tell you guys, here's where we're at. My wife is freaking out because she thinks my appendix is exploded. She also thinks that this is kidney stones that have somehow happened, and now I'm in excruciating pain, and, like, I've got kidney stones, so I'm like, oh, and literally I'm bent over. I can't talk to anybody. So I get into this emergency room, and I know those people late yesterday who saw me up there at WellStar, North Fulton, you guys thought I was a freak because I couldn't sit down or be still because the pain was hurting that bad on my right side, like underneath my stomach, like my leg. Like, I couldn't explain it. So I am, like, moving around trying to keep my mind off of this pain. And people were looking at me that, you know, were waiting in the waiting room as well. And they're just kind of staring at me. And I know they thought, like, who is this guy? So finally they call me in. And I get in there. And, you know, they take blood. They make me pee again. I mean, I'm doing all the things, right? And they're like, okay, we're going to figure this out. What's hurting? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm, like, telling them. So I go down this path of, oh, it's appendix. My appendix has exploded. I probably need emergency surgery, right? So in my head, that is what my wife has made me believe because of this pain and how I'm feeling. So after ruling that out, I'm like, kidney stones. It's kidney stones. It's got to be. She's like, do you have any history of kidney stones? Never. Okay, we're going to take a look. They do the test for the kidney stones. It's not kidney stones. So I'm like, what is going on with me? So literally, they run me down after this, and I had to wait another hour. And give them credit. They finally gave me some pain stuff, but, you know, the way this was hurting, I had no reason to understand why, like, where it was coming from or what the deal was. So they said, we're going to take you down for a CT. We're going to take a look. So they go scan me. And by the way, they did a great job. Again, a big shout-out. All the folks there were super nice. But by this time, I'm like 5 hours in, right, at least. So I finally get the CT scan, and they take me back up. They're like, okay, we'll be back with the results in a short while. I'm like, how long? Probably an hour. An hour? Another hour?
Wow.
Do you know what this was? Do you know what this
gas
was? She comes back in, and the doc says, look, we've run all the tests. We've done everything. I said, this is debilitating pain. I can't take this. I can't live like this. She says, it's your sciatic nerve.
Really?
I said, are you kidding me? She goes, let me show you. So she pulls out the chart. She's showing me all this stuff and where the pain and how your sciatic nerve works. And I'm going to tell you guys, if you've ever had this, you folks who are listening to me right now, you know I'm not playing around. You have to, like, it will shut you down.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, all of this for a sciatic nerve? And she's like, yes. So then my question was, okay, so what can we do for it? Well, it's a nerve, which means
there's nothing they can do for it.
Correct. It's like, hey, we can calm down the pain, and we have some stuff that we can use, but at the end of the day, it's got to calm itself down. Oh, my God. And the way I was feeling, I'm not lying to you guys. I thought I was dying. I really did. This thing was painful. So if anybody out there who's listening has had to deal with that, I don't wish that on my worst enemy, and I have a few.
I'm in a similar position. I have three degenerative discs in my lower back, so they inflame my sciatic nerve all the time. So I get shooting pains down my legs on a regular basis.
So, Zeno, then they tell me the scan shows, and I'm like, from what? And they're like, oh, you're L5, and they're showing me the scan, and they're like, you're L5, there's a little compression there, and I'm like, from what? Anyways, so now I'm having to deal with this. It's just another thing on the list.
Yep.
So you understand, you know what that pain I'm talking about then, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, getting old stinks. It's miserable.
Stuff
is out of your control.
It's miserable. So, and then as people were texting me yesterday, you know, family and friends, like, hey, dude, are you okay? You know, what's going on? And then people don't make it better. Everybody has a prognosis of what's going on. You know, this sounds like, well, your stomach is exploding. I mean, everything you could imagine I was getting on my phone. And so, like, in my head, I'm like, this is terrible. This is bad. Your liver is bad. Your kidneys are gone. I mean, I'm like, everything that I could possibly think of, people were texting me yesterday. I'm like, you know what? I don't need this from you guys right now. So that is ultimately what happened. Turtle, I don't even know if they told you that. So that's why I was in the ER for like 6 hours. I get out of there. It finally calmed down. The meds and stuff, they gave me help. But, man, what a day. I'm just telling you, it was unbelievable. And I woke up just fine.
Now,
and then it went to hell.
Are you more relieved that it was nothing or frustrated that it took so long?
So, two things. With all those tests, I'm healthy as hell. I am healthy, okay? They did blood work. They did everything. I'm good. Like, Doc was like, hey, your kidneys are fine. And da-da-da. I was like, cool. I'm knock wood. There's no cancer in there. Like, right, seriously. Like, you start thinking crazy stuff.
Sure.
And so with all the tests they ran, the good news is I'm clean. The bad news is I'm at about five grand going to the damn ER and not being admitted. So, look. At the end of the day, I'm happy that nothing was seriously found, but I could not believe, this is my first time ever having to deal with anything like that, I could not believe it shut you down like that. I had no idea. So that is why I was not here yesterday. That is what was going on. It was kind of last minute where I told the higher-ups at the station, I was like, look, I gotta go ER. And they were like, are you okay? I have no idea what the hell's going on. And that was my day. So for everybody who's had to go through that, I totally understand. And I sympathize with you.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, it's weird. You know, I've had a bunch of surgeries, 5 in 4 years, as a matter of fact. But the one thing I refuse to get operated on is my back, because that is just life-changing kind of stuff.
I'm with you on this. Like, my father-in-law has had 5 or 6 back surgeries.
No.
It's changed his life.
Yeah, quality of life goes right down. He can't do anything.
Well, he can't fly.
Yep.
Like, long trips and stuff. He does a lot of stuff. And I'm like, I'm with you. I'm a little nervous about that. But I know there are a lot of good surgeons and, you know, folks who've had back surgery, and it's helped them tremendously and relieved the pressure. I'm not there. I don't have that. But this was like, what in the hay is this? 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up if you've ever experienced anything like that. And maybe it's been worse. I don't know. But if it got any worse for me, literally all I wanted to do was lay down. Like, I just wanted to stop doing whatever I was doing and just lay down. And then you lay down, but you're not comfortable.
I'm surprised
because of that shooting pain.
You did the thing that most guys don't do, because I probably would have delayed the ER visit for hours.
I couldn't.
Like, for hours. Like, I would have been like, nah, it'll let up. Let me just take some Advil or whatever, and I would have fought going to the ER, because I know that experience. And how they're going to sit there and they're not going to tell me anything. You're going to sit there and you're going to send me home, and it's going to be a waste of my time. I'm going to be angry about it. So at least let me just be home and in pain and be in peace, instead of being angry about nothing actually happening.
Yeah, and Z, that's, you know what? That's when my wife knew. She was like, you're going where? I was like, I'm going to ER. She's like, oh, you really are feeling bad. I was like, yes, because that's not me. Like, I don't do that. You know, I guess that's my dad. My dad would never go to a doctor unless he absolutely had to. I was like, you know, this is killing me for me to say I'm going to the ER. So, yeah. It was not something I wanted to do, but the pain made me do it. So that's where we are. That's what happened. I wanted to share that with you guys, because I put that post out there saying what happened to me yesterday. And by the way, they took so much blood, I felt drained. And it was like blood after blood. How much blood do you guys need? How many tests are we running right now? And we still don't know what's going on? This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We're coming back. Zeno has posed a very serious question on the show today. We're going to tell you what it is. We'll talk about our poll question and get into it next.
Marketers, Are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.